Whenever I go to home meetings or luncheon somewhere and try to explain to people what the Navigator ministry is all about, I've sometimes pointed this out. I said, look, it's relatively simple. I always like to keep saying that things are simple because we tend to either think they're complicated or we in fact make them complicated. All you have to do when you think about the Navigators, I'll say, is remember three words. Now, you remember the word Navigators. We've got that already. Then you remember the word disciples. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. Navigators, disciples. Now, when you think of the Navigators, you've got to put a middle word in here, and that's laborers. Navigators make laborers who make disciples. That's it. Now, this morning I want to talk with you a little bit about navigators, but in a little more technical sense than we can use the term. And in Ephesians 4, which is a pivotal passage we use in the fundamentals of the ministry, and incidentally, the last time I brought this, a couple months ago, the FOM, I got some feedback that one of our brighter young men said to somebody else who said to me, I think Lauren is on thin ice when it comes to Ephesians chapter 4. So I've given quite a bit of thought to Ephesians chapter 4 since then. And we'll see how substantial that is as it relates to the Navigator ministry. Or maybe I should say how substantial the Navigator ministry is as it relates to Ephesians chapter 4. And I can tell you right now, I think that the ice is 12 feet thick. So this is a very unprejudiced talk you're listening to right now. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivities in his train and gave gifts to men. I'll skip the parentheses and go to verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the full measure of perfection found in Christ. Then, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their will. And craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now looking at verse 7, each one, but to each one. Verse 11, he gave some. Each one, some. Each one, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4:10, each one, each Christian has received a gift. Talking about all Christians, each one. Verse 11, he gave some, not all, some, to have a special function. Earlier this week, I called Howie Hendricks to go over this with him, and he sends his greetings to all of you, incidentally. He calls the each one the serving gifts and the some the supportive gifts. We're going to concentrate this morning on the some. Now, I'm using the NIV, as you can probably tell. If you are underlining or making notes, there, take the word some. Then, verse 12, to, T-O. Halfway through verse 12, so that. Then verse 13, until, and verse 14, then. the connectors. But we'll start with the sum. Sum. Who, it says, he who gave some. Now, who are the some? It says the some are apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, there are all kinds of opinions about those four. And by very respected scholars, and the more books I read in here, the more confused I get. Just the other day, that one person we some of us know well would say apostles and prophets are no longer in existence today. Others say yes, they are. Some would say this is an illustrative list, not inclusive. But whatever it is, there are all kinds of opinions about the definitions. The some are persons who themselves have serving gifts to exercise, verse 7. They're among the verse 7. Plus the additional responsibility of preparing others to use their gifts in their works of service. The some. Now apply to navigator leaders. Navigator leaders make disciples themselves. I should do it like this. Navigator leaders make disciples. We're all responsible to labor to help fulfill Christ's great commission. But in addition to that, like the some, we not only do the ministry, we help others to do the ministry. So the navigator leaders are of the some, the persons given to the body, which is with, as I said, the additional responsibility of not only doing the ministry, but recruiting, training, motivating others to do the ministry as well. Now their names are Jack, Leroy, Joyce, Denny, Rob, Doug, and Helene. 728 of them, assuming that every rep and contact staff in the navigators is one of the some. Where do the some come from? God gives them. It was He who gave some. So it seems to me you can't make the some like you make disciples. You remember we've used an illustration of the chair, which we've squared around in the new issue of the FOM, but I haven't got used to that yet. Is this enough to see up there? I am getting the palsy. I thought so, too. We engage. I told Lucy this morning, see, I'm sick. I don't feel well today. She said, that's because you're leaving on a trip tomorrow. That's just routine. So this is pre-trip. We engage in a process called evangelizing that ends up in a product we call a convert. We engage in another process called establishing, and I'll repeat the reason we use established in a follow-up because it begins with an E. Same thing, which ends up in a product called a disciple. Well, it's a good thing I'm telling you what this is. I can't read my own writing when it's 5 minutes cold. We engage in another process called equipping, which ends up in a product we call a laborer. Then another process that we'll call developing ends up in a product that we'll call an equipper, which to me is what a navigator rep or contact staff is. Now, just to run through it quickly again. Does God want everyone saved? Right. We know that. Not anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance. Does God want that every Christian should become a disciple or be a disciple? How many vote yes? Oh, that's good. We have our votes. Those all in favor say aye, and those opposed, I resign. But he doesn't. Does God want every Christian to be a laborer? Think about that a minute now. How many say yes? How many say no? How many do not want to vote on that one? Now, we gave a couple of years to thinking that one out and decided, and I could give you the rationale, that yes, God wants every Christian to be a laborer. One of the things that just triggered the end of the process for me was when somebody pointed out, does God want every parent to bring their child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to know Him as Savior and to grow in Him? The answer is yes, therefore every parent is a laborer, should be a laborer. Does God expect every Christian to become an equipper? How many think yes? How many think no? How many know you don't want to vote on that one either? Now you're right, because that's the sum. He gave some, not all. And I think that through Navigator history, we have frustrated a lot of people coming up in the work by trying to bring them all the way around to make them equippers when God never gifted or called them to do so. He gave some. Now, if God gives some, do you think you can pray for them? I think you can. You can pray for them. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you think it would be scriptural? Do you think it would be feasible? Do you think it would be desirable that we together might ask God for one of the some, that equipper types, for every million people in the world? That would be 4,000. Let's take China. Let's start with the toughest. We'd be asking God for 1,000 of the sum in China. Well, I read that in the 30 years the communists taken over, that the number of Christians jumped from 800,000 to 8 million. Mr. Sanders was telling me yesterday that Hudson Taylor III, isn't it? Hudson Taylor III? Said that the best information now would indicate there are probably 20 to 30 million born-again people in China. I've wondered, could the 1,000 already be there? And we just need to find them and help them? Let's take Russia. 280 million people. According to this big book here, 60, where have I got it? Well, that's under another point. No, I can't lift the book twice. I'll go to into this time. I think I can remember the statistics. 68 million people in Russia, in the last sentence, put down in writing on their census the word Christian, which is quite amazing. They figure there are another 28 million who are underground Christians who would not put their name on a piece of paper. That I think should add up to 96 million. From what Barrett has in this book, it'd be very conservative to say that at least 15 million those people will be born again in Russia. I wonder if those 280 are already there. We could pray for them, find them, help them, get the vision, and develop them. Let's take India with 700,000 million people, rather. So take 700. Warren Myers and the people there have been praying that God might use them to raise up a laborer within walking distance of every person in India. They figure that would take about 5,000 laborers. Well, 700 equippers would do that. Well, if all were staff, and I'm thinking more of a network that I am necessarily all staff, because obviously some we have some now that couldn't be on the staff officially. But from 728, and I like to call them equipping leaders, and I can tell you that for in a moment why, would grow to 4,000. Now, do you think that's scriptural? Do you think that's reasonable? Do you think that's feasible? Do you think that's desirable? Well, I do know that our Eastern Europe team, on their plans, they plan in asking God for 350 of the sum, equipping leaders in Eastern Europe. One per million. So we can pray for them. And as we take these trips, not just only look for laborers, but let's look for some people that God may have gifted and called as some of the sum. Then I think we can make a terrific impact. Now, what do the sum do? Well, we all know this, but it says they prepare God's people for works of service. Now, prepared, I imagine most of you have done a study on that, is to prepare fully as a result of a process. So I emphasized here that we engage in a process that it results in a product. Process, product, process, product, process, product. That process is called equipping, perfecting, completing, or it has to do with the word, the mending of broken nets so they can become useful, or the setting of a broken bone to make a person fit, and the outfitting of a ship for a journey so you can go and do something. And you put this together, and it's this word equipping or preparing would have to do with two things mainly, character and contribution. Gene Moore told me that, I don't know if it was one church or a number of churches, a poll or a questionnaire was put out to laymen, members of the church, what they wanted in a pastor. And the result of the survey was that they wanted two things. First, someone who would model what he preached. Secondly, who would teach the laymen how they could have a ministry. That's what the summer is supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Now it says, God's people, the saints. According to Dr. Barrett, here again, 32.8% of the world's population would say that they're Christian. That's 1.5 billion. Doesn't mean they are, but that's what they would say they are if you ask them what they were. Out of that number, his research would indicate there are 780 million that you would call committed Christians. They say, I'm really committed to Christianity. It's about half. And according to their research, of that number, you could safely say 420 million would be truly born again Christians. There are churches in every nation of the world and in 7,010 languages. The first truly world religion. There are enough Christians in the world to reach the rest of the world if we can only get them to work. And whose job is it to get them to work? The sum. The equipping leaders. One reason I like to call them leaders is, not only equippers, but equipping leaders, because a leader brings vision, faith, and courage to directed action. The vision to see what can be done and what ought to be done, the faith to believe that it can be done, and the courage to hang in there in the spite of difficulties. That's what leadership brings, I think, should bring to directed action. Now it says for works of service, the work of the ministry, all categories of human need, all kinds of ministries, and to the navigators particularly having to do with disciple-making ministries. I like what Noel Nelson told me one time when we were having lunch in Atlanta. He said one of the leading Christian laymen in Atlanta came to him for help. Noel was meeting with quite a few people, and he said to this man, I'll help you in your spiritual life on one condition. That is that when I'm helping you and I look at you, I can look around and see someone that you in turn are helping. Well, Noel has his helmet on straight. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus told us, isn't it? Matthew 28. Teaching them to observe everything I have told you. I, you, them. That's what he prayed for in John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but also for those who shall believe on me through their word. That's what Paul instructed Timothy, wasn't it? Timothy, you find some faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Multiplication. That's the aim. I think in the community ministry we have to especially keep this clear. I was reflecting the other day from what I could put together in my own experience. It would seem to me that after 3 years, a cozy little Bible study group either ought to split up into satellite ministries or ought to break up. We've got to be ever on the stretch for new converts, new laborers, multiplication. That's the heart of our vision. Now, why would I talk to a bunch of people about it like this? Well, I still remember that I had been with Dawson for 10 years. And he was a pretty good teacher. Rather forceful teacher at times, I thought. And I'm at a Billy Graham crusade. He comes to visit me, see how I'm doing. We're sitting in the room there talking, and I said, you know, Daw, sometimes in all these big crusades and all the big things we've got to do, you can lose sight of the vision, and I was talking about this. And he said to me in his usual clear way, Sandy, I sometimes wonder if you have that vision. And he went on to say, until it absolutely consumes you. You think about it when you wake up in the morning. You think about it at the breakfast table. You think about it when you meet people during the day. That's when you feel you've got that vision. And anything short of it is addition, and that's exciting, but it's not enough. It has to be multiplication. You say, well, I think this passage is 12 feet thick. As far as the ice is concerned, it's all there. Now, equipping leaders. Well, what was the result? The body of Christ is built up, both in quality and in quantity. And I've got a page on that. Until we all come to two things, unity and maturity. The focus of our ministry is the Son of God. The measure of our maturity is Christ. It's all focused in Him, a Christ-centered ministry. I was thinking, until we all reach unity in Christ and maturity in Christ, all 420 million, I think that's what he'd like to see. Then we will no longer be children, but we will grow up. And I wish I had a little more time. You know, I think the more I reflect on it, the dynamic of the whole process is right there. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. And if you don't speak the truth and speak it in love, people won't grow up. I think it's right there. But then the last verse, 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From him the whole body. And if Baird is anywhere near correct, all 420 million joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And our part and our work is to multiply laborers in every nation. helping fulfill Christ's great commission. Regardless of the age of navigators, I would like all navigators to wear bifocals. They're a great boon to humanity. They are indispensable to the ministry of the navigators. Obviously not physical ones, but spiritual ones. And with this I close. Jesus said that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47. All nations, that's the top part of the bifocals. Beginning at Jerusalem, that's the bottom part. And every one of us, wherever you are, that's your Jerusalem. You have to minister and focus clearly on Jerusalem, but as it relates to the whole world. Now, as you plan and pray and work concerning your Jerusalem and those people and what you want to see happen, do you also keep in mind the whole world? What part can you and those with you and your Jerusalem have in the whole world? I mean, right now, what part can you have? Is there anything you could be doing that perhaps you're not doing? Well, that's why we're here this week, to get our vision clarified, perspective renewed. Let's pause for a word of prayer. The other morning, Jack spoke on promises. We know that we have some commands and promises from the Lord. And these are really the backbone behind things we talked about this morning. That God wants certain things done. We've committed ourselves to be a part of what he wants done. What a privilege. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. You not only saved us and given us the privilege of sharing that wonderful message with others and to helping them and watching them grow, but to raise up others that they too might have that privilege, satisfaction, and fulfillment as laborers. Lord, keep our vision clear, we pray. Each one of us, wherever our Jerusalem is, help us to relate it to the whole world, to China, India, Russia, Africa, the whole world. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.